There's a lot to say when buying a new home or car, but only one thing to say that can help you protect them. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. And just like that, a State Farm agent will be there to help you choose the coverage you need, no matter where you are in life. When you need coverage options, your State Farm agent is there to help, on the phone or in person. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery. Code Wondery.
Hello, nice person. Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast number 330. Cop Skyrim is back on the Nerdist YouTube channel, youtube.com/Nerdist. Click subscribe. A lot of fun stuff coming up. Some announcements, some things we're getting into that I'm excited about. Also, come see us at WonderCon. We're going to be performing Friday night in Anaheim as Nerdist Podcast Live. Big announcement there. And I believe we're going to be doing a panel at WonderCon on the Sunday. That's at the end of the month. I think the show is on the 29th of March, and the panel, I believe, is the 31st. Does that sound right? Why am I asking you? You can respond, but I can't hear you. I'm having this one-sided conversation so I can stall and check my calendar. Yes, Friday's the 29th. Sunday is the 31st. That's also the weekend of the Nerdist TV show premiering on BBC America and Walking and Talking Dead season finales on the 31st. Big weekend! Holy cats! So go to youtube.com/Nerdist for YouTube channel. Go to nerdist.com/calendar for live dates and ticket info on that business. This episode is brought to you by Ting. Ting is a mobile service that makes sense. They're not full of crap. There's no contracts. It is truly and completely contract-free. There's no early termination fees. There's no other hidden BS stuff. You're like, why am I paying all this for that? There's no bundling of services. There's no ride-along services. You choose from an extra small through a double XL service level for voice minutes, text messages, megabytes of data, all billed separately. No overages, no penalties, nothing mysterious on your bill. It's super, super streamlined. They also have incredible customer support. No hold. Call at 1-855-TING-FTW anytime between 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And a real person, a human being, will pick up and talk to you on the phone. You can also go online to help.ting.com. Really active customer forums, simple and powerful help ticketing system, video tutorials, video startup guides, and a lot more. And there's a $25 service credit or device discount for those that go to nerdist.ting.com and sign up. Thanks to Ting for sponsoring this episode of the Nerdist Podcast, which is Camilla Luddington, who you may have seen on Grey's Anatomy, or she was played a fairy in True Blood, or she also played the Duchess of Cambridge, but she is the new Lara Croft Tomb Raider, available. Pick it up. It is a pared-down, grungier, more realistic Lara Croft, and Camilla Luddington is that Lara Croft, and she was awesome. Just super cool. It's born in Britain, kind of raised sort of in America, but really fun. Really fun. And we enjoyed talking with her. Jonah was filming his comedy specials, so Matt and I took this one. But I think you will agree that there are some very marketable products that came out of this podcast today. As you listen to me, like, they should make and sell that. Oh, Camilla should write and sell that thing. So I'm going to go on record as saying that the information contained in this podcast is potentially worth millions of dollars. At least. Nerdist Podcast number 330 with Camilla Luddington.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Is that Margaritaville you were just doing?
No.
Okay.
Should have been.
No, I guess I could have been Margaritaville. I think it was a Queen song in my head, actually. It just didn't come out that way. All right. And we are recording. Camilla.
Hello.
Luddington. Am I saying that properly?
Yeah, you're saying it right.
It's a very fancy name.
It's very fancy.
It's the most fancy name I think we've had on here.
Until we get Benedict Cumberbatch.
Someday. Someday.
I feel like you guys should be on a date together and be announced at some type of ball.
I would enjoy that.
Lord Benedict Cumberbatch and Lady Camilla Luddington. And then the Queen waves.
I love it. Sounds amazing.
Is that gonna happen?
It's just too British, and then everyone turns into tea.
But then, what are you saying? They just turn into tea.
Yeah, just like shh. And then their bodies fall. Just yeah. So all the clothes just fall, and everything's wet. Everything's wet, Chris.
With tea stains.
Yeah,
which are very hard to get out.
I know, but they don't worry because they've ascended into another plane of existence.
Oh, I thought this was just a snooty ball. This turned into a beautiful story.
No, it's
of
a beautiful
transcendence.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm appreciating that.
You're familiar with the notes you have to hit in 2001, you know.
Yes.
Saying your names together is that.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's perfect. It creates some type of sonic harmony.
Yeah.
That just those specific syllables. Yeah. If you say your names on top of each other, it creates some type of a rift in the space-time continuum.
I don't think my name's ever been talked about like this.
Well,
this is very exciting.
This is already, I feel like...
We're Americans. We have dumb, boring names. I'm Chris. That's Matt. Camilla. It's beautiful. Luddington.
Thank you.
Oh, it's
so
British.
My dad will be very happy to hear that.
What is your father's name?
Martin Luddington.
It's pretty close. I mean, it's not as...
Children, I'd like to introduce you to the new Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher, Martin Luddington.
Oh my god, he has to listen to this.
Oh my god, this is fantastic.
Immediately.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I just, I have a day off, finally, because I'm usually in a hospital filming Grey's.
Yes.
Anatomy.
And you came here, you gave us some of your
Grey's
time today.
Anatomy.
I did, because I nicknamed it Grey's, so I'm just making sure that everyone knows what that is. Yes, I came here because, you know, Tomb Raider's coming out, and I want to talk to you guys about it and hang out for a while.
Well, we're going to talk about Tomb Raider, which is very exciting.
Sure.
But we're also going to talk about you, and we can talk about Grey's, and we can talk about True Blood, and we can talk about England.
Okay. Let's talk about England. I'm going on Saturday.
Okay. You're going? Yes.
Yeah.
Where should Matt go? Where's a good, what kind of food do you want?
I don't know.
You know we have amazing Indian food.
I am aware of this. Yeah.
Amazing. So you need to go somewhere, just anywhere really, that has Indian food.
I watched Ramsay's Best Restaurant on Netflix.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where nice. I love, what do I love? Where Kitchen Nightmares.
Oh, it's the best.
Obsessed.
The best thing
is that
in the world.
Is that a Gordon Ramsay one?
Yes, of course it is.
Well, I've never seen it.
He goes in and he like fixes a kitchen that's got like the
worst that's right.
Food.
Yeah, and then he tried to do it with hotels.
Like,
yeah, he didn't try. He succeeded. Season 2's coming.
Oh, wow.
They were like,
wow.
This guy can go in and talk to people like shit and get him to do stuff. Let's apply him to other industries.
You're just being ignorant about it. You've never watched it.
See, he actually reminds me of my dad.
Yeah. So you just called him
really?
Yeah,
because my dad like is kind of like that. Like he'll kind of be a little bit abrasive and he'll like swear a lot and he's kind of jarring when you first meet him. He's very Gordon Ramsay, but over the most ridiculous things, like if you don't make your bed, he'd be like, "Darling, what are you doing,
darling?"
He says "darling" at the beginning.
He does say "darling." Yeah, that doesn't make him very scary. He does say "darling," but the rest of it's very frightening.
You adorable creature, make your fucking bed. What? I'm torn. I'm conflicted. I don't know how I'm supposed to feel right now.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks, maybe.
Thanks and get out? I don't know. Of my room? Stop telling me what. I'm an adult. He just said this to you like last week. I am a grown up. Would you stop telling me to make my bed?
He just calls you on the off chance that you haven't made your bed yet. Like,
yeah.
At home.
When I go home, he honestly treats me like I'm a teenager. Like he at 10 o'clock, he tells me to go to bed. He really does.
Do you
really
listen does. Or are you like, no?
Yeah, the thing is when I go home, I end up becoming a teenager because he treats me that way. So I'm like eye rolling, like, okay, Dad, fine. Like, can I talk on my phone for 20 minutes though? Like, I get really lame when I go home.
I work a lot, Dad. I'll just fucking buy this house. Then what are you going to do about it?
Right. Yeah, you definitely use, I think when you're older, you use all those kind of like, I don't need you anymore, okay? Yeah. Like, I'm doing it by myself.
I cut the cord a long time ago.
Yeah, like, can I have $20 to go buy coffee?
can I go with $40 to buy the Tomb Raider? You're in it! I know, but
Dad, come on!
You sneak out. If you're in England
and you need to buy Tomb Raider, it's like $100.
You know what they just did yesterday, which I was super excited about, is I came back to my trailer in the middle of the day and they had sent me a signed Xbox. Have you seen the special edition ones? Yeah, with three game controllers and four games. So I was playing it last night until way too late.
I saw the picture on your Twitter feed.
Odd number of controllers to send you. They're like, send two or four, okay? Don't send three.
Three is a perfect number. They're like, she doesn't have any more than two.
We were going to send you a fourth one, and then
we were
like,
let's just send her three. We got her dad and Benedict Cumberbatch are going to play.
I would love to watch Benedict Cumberbatch play Tomb Raider. I would, if that was a fucking channel, like the Big Brother channel in England, I would just watch Benedict Cumberbatch play video games all day.
Nice. Yeah, I was very excited about that.
I liked Conan's Clueless Gamer thing was really funny.
Amazing.
He really was perving out a lot on Lara.
Yeah, when I liked it when he said, you know, when she goes and she says, I hate tombs. And he was like, well, don't go in a fucking tomb. What are you doing? Like, seriously, what are you doing? I was like, oh, that's right.
That's fair. I mean, her name is, the game is Tomb Raider.
But she isn't aware of that.
It's not like the Truman Show where there's a game being shot around her and she's not aware of it.
Or it's like The American Office where they finally decided to let the camera crew be a character in the fucking
I heard
show.
About that. I haven't seen this season yet, but I...
Don't worry about it.
Oh, it's not very good.
Listen, I mean, it's winding up nicely. We're going to have a good time by the
All I care about is that on our... I do a show for BBC and Catherine Tate's coming on. I know.
Love her.
I know. She's amazing.
Amazing.
Fucking incredible.
She's pretty fantastic.
She may be one of the funniest people... Of all people.
Yeah. I actually don't think that you really get how talented she is when she's on The Office, in The American Office.
No, you don't. You don't. Like you don't see her range, yeah.
You have to see the Catherine Tate show.
You have to see it.
Or you can watch the
Series 4.
Donna Noble.
I love her.
Are you a Doctor Who fan at all?
Dr. Drew?
No, Dr. Who.
Oh, wait, Dr. Drew is America's answer. She raises an interesting point.
I'm thinking Dr. Drew is because two nights ago, I haven't heard Loveline in a long time, and I was driving home with my girlfriend, and she had it on, and the things that people call in about are fascinating to me, but like so self-explanatory.
Well, I used to guest host Loveline years ago, it would be really funny because... Well, it actually, let me re-preface that. It's not really funny, but it's just insane how little people are aware of how horrible things can affect them, where someone will call in and go, you know, I really like to get kicked in the throat during sex. Do you think that...
Is that normal?
Is that normal? And Drew will go, what happened? Nothing. You know, I lived a totally normal life and, you know, nothing happened. Yeah, I was molested when I was... I don't know. Could that be it? And then I was like,
This is one ninja.
But it's always like... It's always like a side...
ninja.
I got attacked by a ninja when I was 14.
But I don't know if that has anything to do with it.
And I also had the best orgasm of my life. But I don't know if that has anything to do with it. People never see the cause and effect. And it's always an aside. And Drew used to like cut the mics for a second, go, you know, $10, it's this. And he was almost always right.
Okay, here's my question then. Is there a lot of shit talk that goes on? Like, are you silencing the mics? Are you like, dude, this guy totally has herpes, but he doesn't know it? And then you're coming back on, you're like, is it itchy?
Sometimes. Sometimes.
I knew it.
Sometimes that happens.
I knew it.
Yep. I'm glad Loveline's still on. I haven't listened to it in a long time.
I would love one day. To be able to take a call on this program.
About herpes?
No, just anything. Just call us.
Hey, Matt, how's herpes going?
Well, I mean, it's all right. It's flame-ups have subsided.
The flame-ups?
Yeah, is that what it does? I don't know.
Oh, my
What do I have? What do I have?
Flame on.
You have a flame up?
Is that what it is?
Next question.
I don't know if I have herpes. My testicles burst into flames.
It hurts. It hurts when I don't pee.
I have spontaneous genital combustion. Is that weird? Should I have a bonfire?
I just don't understand. I just every time I don't pee, it hurts.
I'm not thinking figuratively. I mean literally, a fire erupts. It's really distracting at restaurants.
And I wake up and it's just the ice is formed. Ice is formed in the night. I don't understand.
Oh, you're being fucked by a ghost.
Oh, okay.
Got it. Next call.
You should have muted the mic. It said $10. He's being fucked by a ghost.
How fucking awesome would Supernatural Loveline be?
My God, can I tell you? I read this article that was about a lady. It was an old lady. She was living in this haunted house, and she definitely believed it. And she said that every time she watched TV at night, she would see two ghosts having sex in the corner.
What?
And it was really distracting. And she actually had like a priest come in and exorcise the house. And she was like complaining about it, that they were noisy. And yeah, and they called it, hang on, it was like horny haunted house. That's what they called it. Like these two ghosts are like banging in every room.
Wouldn't you grab your phone at some point and try to capture?
She did. She has a picture and it just looks like this weird, two weird blurs in the corner. I don't know if it's like doggy style.
Oh my God. Maybe
that's what you call it. Like, I found it so funny.
You can't figure out which page of the Kama Sutra it comes from.
That's yeah. Hilarious.
She's like, I don't know what position it was.
What was this on?
I don't know. It was Google.
Sexual spectral encounters.
I'm watching that. I would watch that program.
Yeah, you would.
Yeah, of course I would.
Especially if it was in England. Your accent is difficult to sort of pinpoint.
It's all over the place. Yeah. It's everywhere.
What's your origin story?
Okay. It seems to be a point of conversation for a lot of people. They seem to be extremely confused. They either think I'm faking an American one or faking an English one. So this is where I was from.
Okay.
I was born and raised in England. All my family are there. I am English. I moved to Texas for a year when I was 14 with my family for
there
1 year.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
And then when I was 19... I'm now 29. When I was 19, I moved to Pennsylvania, then New York, then Los Angeles. So I've kind of spent a huge, like, 11 years of my life in the state. So at this point, it's kind of...
She just made me feel awful that she's 29 and I look 40 years older than you.
Oh. 40's not.
So my beard's got gray hair. I was trimming it.
It's
and I was
the
like,
beard.
Oh, it's gray.
If I had a beard, I would look older.
You know... I don't think you would necessarily look older. I think you would just look interesting.
Interesting.
How fucking funny would that be if people? Oh my God, I so want to do this. Funny would be if if people played Tomb Raider and they're like, "Wow, I would love to see the sexy lady who voices that character that cuts you and you have a full beard." It's really interesting playing Lara.
Just completely like, depressing to people.
Totally. Just thick.
Like they put me in the Tomb Raider outfit. Yeah. I'm trying to be sexy.
And the camera starts at your feet and goes all the way up.
It's all really hot.
She takes the time to shave her legs, you know, maybe even waxes.
Like a great rack, and it's just like a beard.
Exactly. I've had my legs lasered, but.
And it would have to be a beard like this, like a sculpted beard, not like a.
I'm thinking like. Kind of
no, but
Santa.
Think about it again and think about how much funnier it is if it's a manicured beard, which means she's addressed it, but just chosen to take it down.
Well, she's, you know, she's a fashion lady. And so she totally.
I'm a lady again.
Oh, this is a great idea.
Oh, my God. I just have visions now being tweeted pictures of me with a beard.
It's going to happen. Listen, if you're lucky, that's all people will do with Photoshop. So be thankful that it's just a beard. It could be so much worse. It could be so much worse.
Oh my God.
It could be a beard made of something disgusting. So just, it's going to be okay.
Do not feed the idea.
It doesn't matter. The internet's the fucking lake of fire. Like there's nothing you could come up with that the internet hasn't already.
Why did your family move to Texas?
And where?
Austin, which is amazing.
All right. You went to the good
one. I'm going there next week.
Really?
Yeah.
South by Southwest?
I'm going for South by.
I might too.
Sweet.
Yeah. My dad worked for a company called 3M.
Oh, yeah, of course.
A company called 3M.
A little company called 3M.
The people that invented tape.
And Post-it notes.
Oh, I don't know if you're familiar with tape. Have you ever used tape before? That's my dad.
My dad invented tape.
I'm just making sure, just in case.
The 3M stands for Martin.
Do they all have to wear kilts of that particular plaid, the 3M plaid?
Just post-it kilt.
Gotcha.
So it comes off.
And then there's a 3M in Austin, and we were moved out there. It was supposed to be for 5 years, and then he ended up going back for something different. And then after that, I was kind of just in love with the U.S., so I wanted to move back. And then I went to school in Pennsylvania for 6 months, which was the worst idea. I'm sorry, anyone who lives in Pennsylvania, I do love your state, but where I was, it was like Amish country.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought it would be really fun, and I just got fat. I gained like 20 pounds in depression.
Well, that's because you were churning all that butter.
I gained 20 exactly. pounds and depression.
Did you lose the depression?
Depression stayed.
Damn it! Lose the weight, but not the depression.
It's always the case.
It was one or the other.
Is there some kind of depression diet? Is there some kind of...
The low-carb depression.
Can I lose some of that? But New York, like going from Pennsylvania to New York, I mean, New York must have been amazing.
I dropped out of college and I went to New York. I actually didn't tell my dad I was dropping out, too. He had, like, paid for that whole year of school, and he was horrified because school in England is really cheap, university is. And in Pennsylvania, it was not cheap.
Darling, you're punished!
Yeah. Make your bed!
I'm not in a bed!
Like
I don't live in your country anymore. It's funny because when you're in college, 6 months seems like an eternity. And now when you get older, you're like, it's already been a year since, you know.
Exactly. You know what's funny, though, is that all over the web, in fact, my dad called me this morning. He found it funny. There's a newspaper in England called The Metro that they give out on the tube for free. And he was like, there's an article here about you. And he said, about Tomb Raider, he's like, they're still saying that you went to Oxford University. And I love this lie because Oxford is amazing.
Sure.
And where this came from is when I played Kate Middleton in a Lifetime movie.
Yes.
And when that was released that I was her, the English press went to find my Facebook page. And mine was private, but I didn't realize it was a fake one of me that said that I was a Jewish roller skating bisexual liberal that went to Oxford University.
I hope you're about to say the only thing that wasn't true was that I went to Oxford University.
I like roller skating. And so they grabbed onto that, and that just kind of has stuck with me.
Maybe don't use Facebook or Wikipedia as your...
Yeah, they quote it. They're like, Wikipedia says she went to Oxford University. And I'm like, oh, I hope they never discover that.
Wow.
Which they now will.
Maybe not.
Makes me sound very smart.
They don't listen to this podcast. Come on, fine. So how was your time at Oxford?
Amazing.
Radiohead went there.
So much.
Radiohead went there together.
Did they really? Is that true?
I think they were like an Oxford group.
That's what Wikipedia says.
Shit, you're right. Yes. I know a little too much Radiohead history. They started as a band called On a Friday.
Uh-huh.
Did they really?
Yes, and then they became Radiohead, which they named after a Talking Heads song.
Huh. Dave Matthews Band became a band called the Dave Matthews Band.
How did they?
They didn't have a name, and Leroy, the saxophone player, was like, I don't know, just call it the Dave Matthews Band when he was filling out the flyer. There you go.
Really?
You're welcome.
Are you a Dave Matthews fan?
No. No one is, besides me.
You are.
No, I actually, I listen to Dave Matthews, yeah. I'm not a huge fan, but I listen. I'm a huge fan of Muse. That's
oh,
I
just sure.
see their concert. I love it. All of their music. Okay, I do this workout called Zombie Run. Do you know what this is?
Yeah. I've heard of this, yes.
It's amazing. And I use Muse as my soundtrack. It basically makes it sound like you're being chased by zombies your entire run. So it's like, bleh.
That's fantastic.
It really.
And you
over those pounding bass lines, that's probably pretty scary.
And it's amazing. And if you run at night, because they're like zombies at 500 meters behind you, like that, and you can hear them getting closer. And if you slow down, they get closer to you.
Is the Zombie Run an app?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty
it's
sweet.
Kind of amazing. It makes you run faster.
So you can't do that on a treadmill. I suppose you could if you wanted to
say,
yeah, right?
Effect,
right.
You know, because you're running, yeah.
So what they should do is set up a treadmill that has a rear LCD screen so that when you're running, you can turn and look and see how close they are. That would be so awesome.
Yeah.
Your eyes just got big because you know that's an awesome
I
idea.
Do
like
it.
An IMAX. Treadmill, zombie run.
Billionaire workouts.
All right. That's a little amazing. Ridiculous. A five-story building, like a five-story screen behind you.
No, wait. Wait a minute.
That's amazing, though. Think about it.
You know what, though? If you're a billionaire, you could just buy a building and hire a bunch of actors to chase you through it.
Yeah.
Every morning from 6 to 7 a.m.
Yeah, but then you vet the actors. What if one of them is crazy?
Yeah, that's what I always worry about at like Halloween Horror Nights.
Exactly. I always worry about the same thing. It's going to happen.
If you were a serial killer, is that not your dream job?
Right?
That's your dream job, right? You get to wear the Jason mask, chase somebody, maybe even kill him a little bit.
Yep.
A little bit.
Just a little bit.
Sorry, I killed you a little bit.
Do a little stabby stab.
Just some light killing. Just some light killing. Just a little bit
just a little killing around the neck.
Camilla, it's a hint of murder. Just like just a dash of stabby.
Stabby stab.
That's right. You played Kate Middleton in the...
Yeah.
Now, there must be a tremendous amount of pressure, maybe? No?
Yeah.
Because you could meet her. That's not crazy that you could meet her. Did you meet her?
I did not meet her. Who knows if she wants to meet me?
I don't know that that's entirely a thing that's not crazy. I don't think everybody gets to go meet the royal family.
But if you play the royal family,
I think
you have even less of a chance to meet them.
You think she'd, want to meet for some Starbucks or something just to thank me?
She liked that weird painting of her.
Oh my God, that was hideous.
It was terrible. Here's what it was. It was a painting from the future. From 7 to 10 years in the future.
Yeah, I agree.
That's what the painting was.
You know those YouTube videos of Lindsay Lohan going from like, have you seen it where
it's got creepy music and
it goes from Mean Girls or whatever, Parent Trap to now.
Right.
And it's like, they make it like a horror movie.
And then it just ends on a tombstone.
Oh no. But it reminded me of that. It reminded me of one of those pictures and like her future creepy YouTube.
You gotta feel bad for her because as much as you can feel bad for millionaires, but I mean feel bad in the sense that anything she says,
she's probably
wants to be nice.
Yeah.
But so for her to say what she may have really thought, which was, oh my God, this is the most hideous piece of shit I've ever seen. You ruined some poor guy. Ruin him. It ruined his career and everything.
I'm telling you, in 10 years that guy's gonna look like a genius. Because he properly predicted her aging.
He's like, you're welcome.
That's not...
you need a new painting? Yeah, you don't, because I did it right the first time. High fives out the door.
Don't you think that she should have been able to see it first and then kind of say, could you add, less wrinkles?
Could you add another painter into the mix?
A better painter? A new painting on top.
Someone who's good at painting would have been great. Can we add a little bit of that?
I think he did a very good job.
No, of aging her.
It's not aging her
like in a chemical apocalypse.
No, it's like he's probably like the guy that they get in to draw the kids that are missing what they'd look like 15 years later. This is what he'd look like now.
Like, the meth site? What's that meth site?
Faces of Meth.
Yeah, it's probably Faces of Meth. Guys.
Faces of Meth? You mean the most effective weight loss drug ever? Meth?
So when Kate Middleton develops her meth addiction.
Bingo.
He's got it right there.
Jackpot. Guys, he's actually a genius.
He is. He's meth psychic. He knows who's going to go meth.
He knows who's doing meth.
It's like going rogue.
They hand out the meth row is that newspaper they hand out in the tube that tells you who's going meth. Yeah.
This week, who's going meth?
Wow, God, that's really interesting. Kate Middleton. I never saw that coming.
Who knew?
That guy knew.
He did. Have you, listen, I wanted, so True Blood is a show that I enjoy, and you're a fairy on that show.
Yes.
Claudette.
Yes.
You've not
there
seen
was
True Blood?
There was
just the sentence.
What?
True Blood is a show I enjoy, and you're a fairy on that show.
tell us about your fairy exploits.
Yes, I'm a fairy on it.
I love it.
It's the first time I've had powers.
It's kind of neat.
It's kind of amazing.
You can shoot people with your crazy light hands.
You can. And just blast them away.
Like Jubilee.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Are you allowed to say anything? Are you working on a new season of
I can confirm that I was not able to work on the new season. Because of
fucking Grey's.
I think Grey's Anatomy needs to add your character needs crazy light hands. If someone comes in and they're freaking out about something, you can just be like, back off!
I'm 100% sure that in the 80s, there was probably a book written by a UFO conspiracist who broke down a gray alien's anatomy and called it Grey's Anatomy. I'm just going to say that right
probably.
Now.
Probably.
Yeah.
Who would this have been?
I don't know. One of those weird guys with beards.
Or what about the or what about the book Grey's Anatomy?
You mean the other one, the real book.
The real.
But I'm
yes.
saying that there's probably one that is just detailing what they think the gray alien anatomy is.
I guess that's true.
I don't want to.
Very interesting.
Now, wouldn't you want to take, I think it would be so fun. This is again, I have these crazy billionaire fantasies. Like, if I ever had billions of dollars, this
You're
is what
there,
I would
buddy.
Do.
You're almost there. Hang in there.
All right. So what I would do is buy a show like Grey's Anatomy and then just start subtly adding weird supernatural elements. Like, take a show that's been on for years and start shifting the genre.
Do you know how amazing that would be, actually?
Wouldn't it?
Yeah.
How fucking rad would that be? Are you you just buy up old soap operas? Like, no one's watching Young and the Restless anymore. So you put.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you can chart the ratings decline.
Or,
I can
like,
see
the
it.
Grim Reaper actually shows up when people die.
Yes!
Yes. And they're like, you're gone, come with me.
Just like
and
an I'm American like, hey, Horror Story.
Hey, Grims. What's up?
What are you watching right now? Is there anything that you're
actually, American Horror Story is one of my favorite shows.
Did you? I
Huge.
I thought the first season was great. It got a little goofy in the last three episodes. Asylum was fucking awesome.
You know what? I'm torn. I'm not sure which I like better. Because I think that the second one, it was kind of like, let's bring in the boogeyman. You know, it's like so many things going on.
There are a lot of things going on. And this is not a spoiler, but if you do watch American Horror Story Asylum, do not expect many of those things to wrap up in any way at all.
No. It seemed, I think around about the Santa episode, I was like, this is a little bit crazy.
But you see that the actor, I mean, Ian McShane.
Oh.
Can you just watch that guy all the time?
All of them, though. I think all of them are amazing. I don't know what that kid's name is, the guy also that played Kit.
Kit Walker. His name is Evan.
Peters.
Thank you. Good team effort.
Nice. He's great. I thought he was great in the first show and in the second one. I'm excited for next season. Kathy Bates.
Is Jessica Lange coming back?
Yes.
Oh my God! You had Jessica Lange. You had James
Adomian.
Not James Adomian. Cromwell. James Cromwell.
And then Lily Ray.
Oh, she's great.
Was amazing, incredible. I mean, that was a great role for her because in the first season, I kind of felt like she got lost a little bit.
A little bit,
and
yeah.
She just. She was a
and you got Joe Fiennes. I like to use people's shortened versions of their names to make it seem like I know
them. Sure, yeah.
You got Joey Fiennes. You got Joey Fiennes there. How do you think he feels being Voldemort's brother?
Good.
I feel like he's feeling good about it.
It's fine.
We never answered this question. Are you a Doctor Who fan at all?
Oh, right. We got to Dr. Drew. You know what? When we segue.
Now let's get back into another Dr. Drew cycle.
Yes, when I was younger, I really was. But I did. I don't watch it now.
Now you're a grown woman.
Yeah, but you know what? When I was younger, I found it very scary.
You know what's funny is I was driving to the airport to go to Toronto 2 weeks ago, whenever Gallifrey was.
Right.
And I had to get. I was driving in at 4 o'clock in the morning, and then at 4 o'clock in the morning, I see a bunch of people in Doctor Who costumes stumbling up the street at 4 o'clock.
You're gonna need a little backstory on this. Gallifrey One is the Los Angeles Doctor Who convention that's been going on for a long time.
It takes place at the Los Angeles Marriott.
Oh, okay.
It's at the airport Marriott, and so.
Wow.
So when you're driving to the airport at that time, you see people come out in Doctor Who
costumes. That's amazing.
Just like sloppy TARDISes. And
that sounds like a gross sexual act.
Yeah, it sure does.
A sloppy TARDIS.
It's bigger on the inside, Chris.
Oh, come on, Matthew. A sloppy TARDIS is when you have sex
what
with someone
that?
After someone else has had sex with them, but you go in the TARDIS to go back in time to have sex with them first.
The sloppy TARDIS.
Yeah. You would understand. You would understand some of this if you watched.
If I watched the show.
The sad part is, we make money doing this.
I know.
I admire that.
I know.
Sloppy TARDIS, everybody.
Oh, Camilla, what have you gotten yourself into on your day
I don't
off?
Know.
Are you okay?
I'm texting my publicist right now.
Oh, good.
She's tell them
this is the most awesome I've ever.
You're fired.
I'm kidding. You're rehired.
The other show I love is Game of Thrones, though.
Oh, so good.
Amazing. I was on the hunt for Khaleesi when I was at Comic-Con.
I met her.
Did you?
So nice.
Really?
Yes.
She looks so different.
Without the
hair.
Bleach blonde, yeah.
If I were her, I would for sure wear that wig 24/7.
It's pretty cool.
Out at Ralph's.
No, you don't want to get recognized at Ralph's
out
as
at
Khaleesi.
Ralph.
Why not?
Where are your dragons? Like, so many people must have the fucking worst.
I wish she would just start bawling and point at the meat case.
Oh, no.
Jesus Christ. Just go in and full.
Sloppy TARDIS.
Just go
dead
in
dragons.
Full.
Oh. I feel good about my morning.
If I were her, I would do it. I would get in full costume, go over by the meat, and just start crying.
Now, do you... I'm sure Grey's is a really fun show to do, but it do is. You like... Do, you know, or do you look at... is it more like sci-fi fantasy stuff? Is your heart there as well?
Yeah. Well, I'm a huge horror movie fan too. So
what do you like?
Huge horror. Well, my favorite is probably the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Sure.
And the original Halloween.
Yep.
Yeah. So I love horror. So like American Horror Story really appeals to me. But yeah, fantasy, of course, yeah. I feel like I've kind of jumped around. You know, I went from like Californication to True Blood and did the fantasy thing, and now I'm Grey. So I've kind of been very lucky that they're all completely different roles.
Right. Californication still cracks me up. Like, there's such a wink to the audience of like...
There is.
This show is called Girls Who Would Never Fuck the Guys They're Fucking.
Oh, no!
What? What?
They would. It's California.
No.
If they have
much money as they
what
say.
What it's California. What does that mean? Clarify. For
everyone
all the girls
sleeps
out there
with everyone.
Where?
It just happened, Chris. We just slept
oh
together.
Oh, my God,
you
Matt.
Didn't even notice. Did you see that?
Did you just
I
give
did.
Me a sloppy TARDIS?
I YouTubed.
have you ever done a horror movie?
No, I want to so badly.
Oh, they're fun. I've done two.
Have you?
Yes.
What horror movies? What have you done?
I did House of a Thousand Corpses.
And Terminator 3.
No, that was not a horror movie. That was a sci-fi apocalypse.
Definitely not a horror movie.
It was not a horror movie. And then a little in the Halloween 2 reboot.
Oh, cool. Rob Zombie?
And Rob's. Yeah, Rob did both of those. That's the only reason I got to be in a movie, because I'm friends with Rob, and I would never audition for a movie and get it, because that's just not how.
I really want to do one. I'm excited. Or a movie like, I'm a huge Aliens fan, so like a movie like that where I get to really kick some butt would be fun.
I feel like that's totally possible for you.
We'll see.
Do you find that when you work on a television show, because I don't think most people understand, television and film businesses are, they might as well be in different countries.
Right.
Because so much of the film business doesn't really understand or know what's going on in television. So you could be a huge television star, but the film business might be like, I don't...
Right.
Because it's just a different business.
Right.
Have you come up against that, or do you find... Are you meeting on films and stuff?
Actually, honestly, I have been pretty lucky very recently since I got on Grey's to have great testing for... You know, I'm testing for stuff, and I don't know what I can talk about, but
sure.
Meetings. So...
this is intriguing.
The way she says meetings makes
meeting.
Me think she's...
Meetings.
She's the new Batman.
She's the new Batman.
Oh my God!
Are you Amazing Spider-Man 2 reboot?
Yes.
They decided
she is
to go
the entire reboot.
I'm every
she
reboot.
Just,
every
just
reboot
her.
That's happening, it's me.
It's now, just her on a couch telling you the plot. Now, here's what happens.
I think I'm going to go on a limb and say that I think whatever they shoot for Amazing Spider-Man 2, that just as many people go see it if Camilla were in Spider-Man pajamas running around a bedroom going, I'm Spider-Man. Like, that's if you just did that for 90 minutes, I think just as many people would go watch that as Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Maybe more.
I do it.
Do you ever have the Spider-Man dreams where you're shooting webs? Is
no
that just
one
a guy?
Has the Spider-Man
yes,
dreams.
Yes, they do. Are you shitting me?
I feel like you're having
the
Spider-Man
Supergirl.
Dreams.
I watched, you know, I was like a huge super, you know, the Supergirl movie that came out in like 83.
Yep.
With Helen Slater?
Yes. Absolutely with Helen Slater.
I remember it.
I remember it fondly.
Peter O'Toole.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
You
yes.
broke
so I was...
the CD player.
Shit. Okay, what did you have from Supergirl?
First off, I had the whole costume. I had this necklace that I made out to be one of those like crystal things that she had. And I had Supergirl dreams. Those are my dreams.
Now, are you flying around, or are you beating people up? Are you going into the Phantom Zone?
No, it was always the same thing. Like, I'd be in the school. I must have been, like, slightly unpopular and just have blocked it out, because my whole thing was that I would be in the schoolyard and everyone was, like, not playing with me. And then I just fly over them and they'd be like, oh, my God, you're cool. And that was it.
How do you think people would really – we have no way of knowing this. How do you think people would really react if a kid just started flying? Do you think they would think it was cool, or do you think they would freak the fuck out?
Down.
It'd be shut down.
Yeah.
I wonder. Well, now I'm thinking about the logistics of this flying child. And
how do you feel about it?
It's a good question. I think he'd be taken by the government for testing.
Yeah, he would be. Yeah, he'd be tested.
Yeah. Or she, in your case.
Or she, yes, absolutely.
I think maybe it could be time for a Supergirl.
You'd have to fly at night.
Yeah, do a lot of night flying.
But
a lot of night flying.
How do you, how does Superman not, how is his face not covered in bugs? Like, you can't drive to Vegas without, you know, so if you're flying, you know.
Well, I mean, if you fly above where bugs are.
He doesn't always.
Most of the time he does.
Does, no.
He's not flying 30 feet above the ground.
Sometimes he is flying 30. He's got to take off and land,
when
Matt.
When he's flying 30 feet above the ground, he's going vertical.
He's probably eaten a few bugs, let's be honest.
That's every Superman landing should just be him
when
going.
He goes, when he goes really, really fast, though, he puts his hands out in front of him. Probably
he just puts
oh, maybe he's doing that.
Yeah, maybe he's like,
he's blocking his face with his hands.
That's possible. So his hands are basically just like the grill of a car.
Yeah.
On a long drive.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Amazing. Maybe isn't, that's in the Man of Steel.
Isn't his bulletproofedness
good word.
Not so much that his skin is bulletproof, but actually that there is a field around him.
Really? I thought it was because of his dense molecular structure.
So did I.
I thought it was a. I thought there was a layer.
Two for
There's
dense.
A layer.
Two
okay.
for dense molecular
structure.
Sure.
That's fine.
Kyle, look
dense.
It up. Does Superman have some sort of a weird Kryptonian force field around him, or is it that the yellow sun's rays give him a dense molecular structure and almost unlimited?
The inconsistency in Superman's powers in the movies really bothers me.
We've talked about this before, that in any superhero movie, someone should set a benchmark for what the limitations and capabilities of their powers are.
We've talked about this on the podcast. We've talked about it in real life, which tells you how nerdy we are.
Wait, I want to know what exactly.
Okay,
means.
Okay.
Okay,
so all right, so we were watching Dark Knight Rises.
Okay,
and we're noticing that you know, where Bane kicks the shit out of Batman,
yeah,
like just fucking destroys him. And this is a guy who was trained by the League of Shadows and is a pretty good fighter. But Bane, I guess they're trying to establish Bane's a way better fighter.
Yeah,
but and then you know, and then comes back later in the movie and does the same thing, but then kicks his ass. So. Yeah. What there should be some sort of a benchmark, like, you know, like in Superman Returns, where he lifts
a continent
while under the influence of kryptonite.
Yeah.
So there should be some benchmark of like, these are the limitations of these characters' powers, because sometimes you see them in other scenes and you're like, but how could
Which is what I loved about those Marvel cards they released in the 90s, where they would have on the back of it, they would say Thor's strength is a 7. It was always on a scale of 7. And it was like, Thor is a 7 and Hulk's a 7.
Is Thor... technically stronger. He's stronger than Superman, right? Because he's a god.
Oh, that's a good
one. Like, if they were in a fight, Thor would win.
I don't know, because I feel like Superman... I feel like if Superman goes above the atmosphere, absorbs enough of the sun's rays, nothing can beat him. Except for Doomsday.
Which makes him sort of a weird superhero.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of boring.
Well, yes.
Like, if he gets a tan...
Yeah, yeah, if he gets a tan.
Like, if he goes into, like, a tanning booth, does that work? Is it UV rays?
No, you'd have to get a spray-on tan, which may come off if he has a weird field that Matt seems to think he has.
I think he does, and someday we'll find out about that.
Who's your favorite superhero?
Ha, interesting. Probably Superman. I'm more excited about the new Superman than I am about anything else.
It looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the trailer, you know, the one with the voiceover that has Russell Crowe's voiceover, especially. Mm-hmm. I just kind of feel like it's haunting.
And you're like, man, thank God he's not singing.
Superman.
You have a responsibility.
Hey, Kal-El.
We found you under a crater.
You gotta get real gravelly.
You know what, though? He came out for the Oscars, and I was
He did a better job than he did in the movie.
And I felt for him a little bit, because I thought he knows, obviously, what people are saying, and he has to come out and sing at the Oscars.
Yeah.
I think the Oscars is a horrible experience. No, almost no one has fun. It's so serious.
It's very
people
serious.
Are freaked out. They take it super seriously.
You know who has fun?
Who?
Jennifer Lawrence.
She does.
I love her.
You can't not. She's amazing.
When she fell up the stairs, I was like, I love you even more.
Yeah.
She
fell into our hearts, guys.
But I saw this post interview with her, and this piece of shit reporter goes, Are you worried that winning an Oscar at such a young age means that you've peaked? And she's fucking holding the Oscar in her hand. And she was like, well, I wasn't worried about that until now.
Wow.
What a dick.
The press sucks.
Well, they're just looking for an angle, you know?
I think the press bears some responsibility.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
A lot of responsibility for the way the Oscars is perceived, because they always say it's the worst one. They are always shitty about it. They shit on everyone's clothing. They're nice to 20% of the people and horrible to 80% of the people. Yeah. It's no fun. Like, I kind of just wish they would go, we're going to take a year off.
Did you see that? Yeah. Did you see that? I forget who tweeted it, but Sarah Silverman retweeted it. And someone said, someone had just a quote. Seth MacFarlane was so misogynist and awful at the Oscars, but coming up next... Who dressed the worst?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's talk about whose outfits were the worst.
Yeah.
What did you think of him?
I work on Sundays, and so...
Okay. I worked, too, that day.
I
missed him.
I saw it.
What do you think?
I thought he did a good job. I thought he did what everybody expected. Maybe a little bit better than people expected,
really?
I think. Yeah.
Hmm.
It's a tough job. It's the shittiest job. There's no winning.
Take that job.
No one's ever going to be like, this guy was amazing.
Yeah. I would never take it.
No, I wouldn't either. They're not going to ask me to host
it. If Letterman at the peak of his powers got torn apart, then it's a no-win scenario.
Well, there are so many weird things to have to satisfy to host that show. You have to be respectful. You have to be funny. You have to be entertaining. You have to keep the show moving. You have to not step off. I mean, you're literally in a theater with the biggest collection of egos around a business that is just one big ego jerk off. and how you navigate those waters flawlessly is because there are too many different people judging from too many different points of view. Yeah. It's not possible.
Yeah, you'd wonder how many people you had pissed off and ruined relationships for in that one hosting gig, possibly.
With comedy, you have to take shots at things.
Yeah.
Like, that's just the nature of comedy. And so you're just gonna always upset people.
Did you read about the Onion's? I didn't know what to think about that. I mean, because the Onion is ridiculous.
I thought it was.
I mean, I think the statement on its own is funny because obviously no one thinks that.
Yeah. The truth of the matter is,
obviously there's gonna be an uproar.
It was probably. I don't think it was wise to tweet that, but those are like comic writer's room jokes where they take the sweetest, nicest person. But I think the fact that it was a child was not probably the smartest joke to make, but I feel like I've made those jokes before about like my grandmother or something oh, I wish that fucking bitch would get out of here because she just doesn't deserve it. You know, she's so sweet. And then she'll come in and then walk out of the room and you're like, oh, my God, what a cunt. You know, like you don't mean it. It's just like it's funny because she totally doesn't deserve it. And it's the worst thing you can say
about a lovely person. Kyle has an answer.
All right. Yeah. So technically, you're both correct.
Huh?
You were operating under a post-crisis pre-John Byrne.
Come over and say this on the mic. Okay, Kyle, show PA.
All right. So, Chris.
Yes.
You are operating.
Are you about to give me a rose? This feels like
will a real accept this rose.
Have you been watching 17? Oh, boy, it is a good one.
It's The Flowers Before I Blow You,
which is a great name for a novel. The Flowers.
So, I'm certain that I will get some sort of heat for this, but basically you're operating on the pre-crisis version of Superman where his Kryptonian biology has a thicker skin, you know, it's equivalent to titanium. The post-crisis John Byrne thing is that he has a skin-tight aura around him that protects him from things, and anything he touches becomes part of that same aura.
That's a little Christy.
Yeah.
Anything he touches.
Yeah.
So if he touches Lois Lane and she gets shot, she will not die.
That's a good question. Something I think we need to write to John Byrne.
No, I'm pretty sure that would be correct.
You could score with so many people that way. Hey, do you want to be bulletproof or not? I mean, it's
solve the Kevin Smith Superman.
That would solve that dilemma. That classic dilemma of how does Superman
get his fuck on.
Have sex with someone without blowing them up.
I have wondered this myself.
And so if it's the aura, then she would be protected. That's a science/mystical way of
I'm on board
explaining that.
I've always wondered about Wolverine. Like, what about him? He's mid-sex, okay?
Yeah.
He's maybe getting a little riled up.
Sure.
What if the claws come out?
Oh, yeah, well, that's...
No, I think he has full control over that, right?
You think he has control?
Yeah.
You don't think at the point of orgasm, you'd be like, ah! And then be like, I'm so sorry, that never happened to me before.
That concerns me.
Yeah,
in a crazy rage.
I think he, but I also think, I also don't know if Wolverine would be super buff. Would he be super buff?
Sure, why not?
Because I feel like his, because he heals.
He is super buff.
He heals so fast. I know, but I mean.
Oh, but his muscles would heal too fast? Is that what you're saying? Yeah. So they would never generate fiber?
Actually, exactly.
Oh,
so that he would just sort of be the stringy guy that was kind of indestructible.
Yeah. Hmm. Google it.
I'm sure there's an answer. I'm sure there are 9 answers for it. I'm sure.
It's amazing Googling the most random question that you think just you have thought up, and then like 20 other people have too. Like, someone has definitely wondered that.
What is the weirdest thing you think you've ever looked up?
Probably ghost sex. which we discussed earlier.
Were you looking up ghost sex, or did you go down some sort of a YouTube tunnel?
No, I honestly didn't look up ghost sex, but I do love the paranormal.
Right.
So I will look up like weird stuff. Like, if I can't sleep, I'll want to scare myself. I'll look up like poltergeists or something like that.
So you'll want to see. Have you seen any good videos that we should be looking at that might suggest that there is some sort of interdimensional life after death?
No.
You'd think someone would have captured it.
I do believe it, though. I just don't know if what's real on the.
Do you watch the ghost shows?
Yes, I do.
Which ones?
Well, I used to watch. What's the one that was a Pennsylvania paranormal team?
Ghost Hunters?
Yeah, Ghost Hunters.
Ghost Hunters, they were Rhode Island based, but listen, I'll go along with you.
Uh-oh. but yeah, I used to watch that, and there's this other show, actually, Paranormal Witness, maybe?
Oh, I've seen that, yeah.
And that's pretty scary. I've seen some scary stuff on those shows.
Really?
Have you ever watched Celebrity Ghost Stories?
Yes. I haven't watched that. But I'm not sure if I believe them.
Of course not.
Because it's a paycheck. You know, if someone paid me, I'd be like, I definitely saw 5 ghosts. Where's my check?
I don't know. I saw 5 ghosts.
There were 5.
No, let me tell you about Spider-Man 2.
There were probably 5 ghosts.
Yeah, 4 or 5 ghosts.
I don't know. There was a fuck ton of ghosts.
It was It was a ghost orgy.
It was a ghost parade. I don't know.
It doesn't matter.
I'm working all day.
It's still gross. It was a ghost orgy.
It was a big ghost grope.
Exactly. I find it hard to believe. Mm-hmm. Anyone can make that up, right? You just think about it. Get up in 2 seconds.
We should probably talk a little bit about Lara.
Okay.
Because it's so hard not to say Laura.
Lara.
You want to say Lara.
Well, think of Lara Flynn Boyle. Lara. They're all set.
Lara.
I know. I heard even on the Conan that you want to say Laura.
Yeah.
Laura.
What do you... Laura. You want to say Laura. I've never wanted to say Laura.
Well, you can say whatever you want because you're her.
It's Lara. I'm just letting you know.
It just sounds better with a British accent.
Lara Croft.
Yeah, for me to say Lara, like I'm so our American accent is so nasally that it just sounds Lara. Like it's almost like, you're killing me, Larry. Like it almost.
You're killing me, Larry.
You're killing me, Lara Croft. Tomb Raider mattresses.
You should voice the next game.
Do you think I should? Should I be Lara Croft?
I think you could.
I've crashed on this island. I better get resourceful and find a rope.
That has to be an unlockable achievement in the next. You have to do the nerdiest thing in the game, and then all of a sudden you unlock Chris Hardwick's voice as Lara Croft.
I need some type of implement to shave my beard.
Oh my god.
I hope there's a razor in this wreckage. Preferably a Mach 3. It's thick.
Yeah? You're not going with the fusion?
No. It's a Mach 3.
Oh my god. Yes, so Lara Croft, yes. It's been a 3-year process.
Really?
So I'm excited for the game.
So was it sort of did they body scan you at all, or was it just voice?
Both.
Wow.
Yes, I do the motion capture too.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Do you feel ridiculous in a giant room with nothing in it running around and jumping?
Absolutely. Yeah. And what you're wearing is like completely unflattering. Like it's just.
Well, we can't all be Andy Serkis.
You look completely hideous. But it's, you know what's cool though is, which I didn't know, is that they have these giant flat screens around the room. And once they sync you in with your mocap suit on, she appears on the flat screens.
Oh, sure.
And so when I go over to something that's just like a block and it's supposed to be fire, I will watch the screen just to see what it really looks like, what the environment really looks
like. Yeah.
So that reference back and forth is really
Yeah, that's how they cool. did Avatar. They could walk around and see.
And see it, yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting that yeah. they can do that sort of live. That'd be a cool way to play the game. You know what I mean? Yeah. Drop on a suit.
And then look at the
yeah.
screen.
Yeah.
We still don't have good virtual immersive virtual reality like Lawnmower yeah. Man promised us so many years ago.
That's where it peaked.
It's millionaires. Billionaires dream.
That's what we got to do.
Guys, why aren't we billionaires? Let's talk about it.
I know.
What do we need
so
to do?
Sad.
That was so hard when we were talking to Kroll about that, about crazy billionaires, because his dad's like a crazy billionaire, but not crazy. He's just a billionaire.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Our friend Nick Kroll does a sketch show on Comedy Central. He's really funny.
Actually, I just saw the commercial for it
yeah.
yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't know Nick's dad was a crazy billionaire.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Like $7 or $8 billion.
So he doesn't.
What? Billion. He doesn't. Yeah. Billion?
He doesn't,
wow.
He doesn't need these jobs.
Right.
Wow,
but he
nice.
Does it because he's good at it and it's his passion.
That's
so more power to him.
I can't imagine coming from like a billionaire family.
Neither can I.
I feel like Christmas would be kind of boring.
Well, or it could be...
It's about family, you know?
There must be a level...
Maybe for Christmas, you pretend to be poor.
Oh, my God. Wow.
You put on some rags.
Wow. I've seen this... You know how... have you seen Jimmy Kimmel? Is it Jimmy Kimmel? I think that does the... I ate all the Halloween candy.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So I've seen a new one.
Oh.
The new one is like, I am giving you a shit Christmas present. Have you seen that one?
Yes.
Where they've like wrapped, like his mom wrapped and up a half eaten sandwich.
And the kids are like,
yeah.
And they fucking flip out.
Yeah. And the girl's like, I just wanted a whole sandwich, if anything. And the mom's like, aww. I was hungry.
Now,
so good.
Now, I think on the surface, you get to watch that and you go, wow, what spoiled, awful kids. But it's yeah. actually a reflection of how they're raised. I say it's more about their parents if the kids are shitty about it.
You'd be pissed if you got a sandwich.
I guess
then.
I would be.
Anyone
I'd be okay
pissed.
With it.
It depends on the sandwich,
right.
doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, if it's like a...
It's like a ham sandwich. You're like, this sucks.
Oh, if it's tuna,
bacon?
That's the worst.
Tuna?
Just tuna?
Actually, I kind of love tuna melts.
They're so
I never
good.
Had them until I came to the U.S., too.
Of course not, because no one else thinks, you know what makes fish better? Cheese.
And melting it.
I'm sure we do have it in England. I just never have
no,
had one.
No, you don't.
No.
You don't.
No, you don't.
The this can make you feel like a crazy millionaire.
Okay.
A friend of mine is getting for her child's first birthday. So I don't know why they're doing all this, but I guess uh-huh. it's really more for them. They're getting a petting zoo at their house, and I was like, "How much does it cost to get a petting zoo?" And she was like, "It's like $400."
What?
$400? You can have a petting zoo. Brought to your house, two sad ponies and a couple sad goats.
Guys.
Maybe some fucking chicken.
It's like a reject pony.
If we like split it, it's $133 a piece, and I'll kick in the extra dollar.
Not only that, I was sort of thinking like Pretty Woman style. I would just give them $3,000 and be like, you're here for the weekend.
Oh my God.
And just to have a fucking petting zoo all weekend.
And take them shopping
moment,
on
Camilla,
Rodeo Drive, just you and your petting zoo.
And then the one store is mean to the petting zoo at first because they think it's their dirt. She's dirty, but then they come back when yeah. she's like, you really fucked up because I'm a rich petting zoo.
Oh. Yeah.
That'd be great. This is such a great idea. We could be, you could just have a petting zoo at your disposal. And she said there's one that's booked way in advance, and it's a horse named Bojangles, and he plays piano. And I don't know
no,
what that means.
That is a lie.
I don't know what that means.
Do they bring the piano too?
What do you mean you don't know what that means?
Does he?
There's a horse. The horse is named Bojangles.
I got that, Matt. I'm
and
on board.
It plays a piano.
You lost me.
Well, I don't understand.
Does
it's
he
got
play
a number
with his
of appendages.
Face? Does
I
want to
know what
hooves?
He plays. Like, can we request a song?
I think it's like that scene. I think Shine would have been an awesomer movie if David Helfgott was played by a horse. And a sad horse with a cigarette hanging
well,
out of his mouth
Jeffrey
went into
Crouch's
a bar.
Teeth lately. Sorry.
Good point.
That has nothing to do with it. He has great teeth.
But just that scene where the horse comes in and like, oh, what's this piece of shit gonna do? And then it's like, and then it just like goes into Flight of the Bumblebee.
Amazing.
And then there's
Flight of the Bumblebee on a piano, huh?
Flight of the Bumblebee. Do you never saw Shine?
No.
it's fun. It's a fun movie.
Sure.
And then, of course, this guy, David Helfgott, got very famous, and then he came over to tour, and I don't think was necessarily as good as he was made out to be in the movie. I think that's what happened. But, yeah, Flight of the Bumblebee fucking rips it.
All right.
Now watching a horse do that and then be able to add clippity-clop sound effects with the other limbs.
So you want this horse, you want Bojangles to not only be a great pianist,
like a one-man band.
Yeah.
But an excellent Foley artist.
Exactly. I want him to be a great piano Foley artist.
It's like Mumford and Sons.
Yeah, yes. So angry. Every song, so angry. Even the love. Hey, it was not your fault, but why are you shouting at me? Make your bed, Camilla.
This is like, no, darling. Darling, make your bed.
Darling. You had to add a darling.
Yes, honey, I left the 3M Corporation to start Mumford and Sons.
Do you think it'd be weird if I was in
Ludington and Sons?
If I was in the UK and really needed Post-its and I called your dad? Would that be weird?
Anymore.
Oh.
Sorry.
He started Mumford & Sons.
Wait, also, what do you steal of office supplies if you work at 3M?
Anything. That's the point.
The office is There's office supplies.
Also, do they have supplies. To... Next question. Okay. This is maybe your dad can answer this. Does someone need to make a run to Office Max? Like, oh, we're out of Post-its. Does someone have to go buy 3M stuff?
Sometimes maybe they do.
It's so weird.
Maybe.
So your dad is married to Carey Mulligan right now.
He is, and they make a great couple. She's my stepmom, and we get along so well.
Darling, make your bed.
Yes, make your bed, Camilla. Hi, Carey.
This is very awkward. This is really awkward.
You're younger than me.
So, no, you make your bed, Carey.
You make your goddamn bed, Carey.
I have seniority over you.
I want more than a sandwich for Christmas this year.
Do you like comedy? Do you want to do? Do you think you see yourself doing comedy?
I do. I actually, when I was first out here, I wrote a comedy short, and it got into. I directed it and acted in it, and it went into the Los Angeles Comedy Film Festival, which I was very proud of.
What is it called? Is this on YouTube? Can people see this?
It is not on YouTube. Actually, it's called The Filming of Shaky Willis. I was a huge Office fan, the English Office.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love Ricky Gervais. And so I made a movie, mockumentary style, about a shit film set that thinks they're absolutely amazing. And everything is going horribly wrong, but everyone has an ego, and they think it's, like, the next, you know.
Mm.
It's Schindler's List 2. But not really. And yeah.
The long-awaited sequel.
Yeah. What happened? Spoiler alert. Everyone dies.
Schindler goes to another place. It's Schindler's List T-O-O.
Yeah, exactly.
Schindler's List 2, the bucket.
Yeah.
What? He's got a bucket list. Schindler's got a bucket list.
Oh, thank God.
Oh, wow. I know.
I don't know where the fuck you guys were thinking this was going.
Boy, this almost just took a hard left
Jesus
turn.
Jesus Christ.
I know.
No. What? Now explain
it to me. I know. Then Schindler goes skydiving and then pets a giraffe. And
yeah. And then gets his daughter away from those terrorists.
Yeah.
But like what did you think?
Did you just mash? Oh, okay.
No. You matched up Taken
because of, yes.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Got it.
I'm not on my game this morning, apparently.
I have a special set of skills.
I haven't seen that new movie.
Taken 2?
Yeah, no,
Did you see the first one? Same thing.
The first one was fun.
So was the second one. Does the second one work? He's
the
like,
second
I've been
one,
taken a
there's
gun.
A guy that falls down the middle of the
You're never going to believe this. Someday we're going to laugh.
Did you read his quote when they asked him about Taken 3?
No.
His quote was, I can't do Taken 3 because that's just bad parenting.
Even more Taken.
So we've established I'm better at retrieving you than I am keeping you. Yeah. I'm horrible at that. I'll get you back.
Does there come a point where he just gives up and he's like, okay.
Fucking keeper.
Yeah.
You know, at a certain point.
Exhausted. I've got a lot on my DVR.
Sort of like Princess Peach in the Mario games. Like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Just fine.
Aw, the Mario games.
Do you play video games?
I did. When I was younger, we had something called a Sega Mega Drive. I don't know what it's called here. We had a Sega Mega Drive.
Was it the Genesis? I wonder if that was the Sega Genesis.
Where you put the game in on
the
top.
In the top,
and yeah. And I used to play, I mean, this is how long
like
ago
the
it was.
Mega Drive more.
Moonwalker.
Oh, yeah, right.
Where he used to throw his hat and like kill people with it.
Yep.
And Temple of Doom.
Sure.
Indiana Jones on it.
The Sega Genesis was an interesting game because that was that console was where they kind of really started saying, oh, maybe we don't need to just market video game consoles to kids. Because you had this whole generation of people that had grown up with Atari, and so they were older. And so that's when they like the console.
Also smart of them to be like, well, these kids are growing up. They probably still want to play something. Yeah. So let's make it this thing.
Yeah.
I mean, of any generation, that in any time in history where we just didn't have to stop doing all the shit we did as kids, every other generation before generation, well, not the millennials, but before Gen X, like every other generation just had to stop doing the stuff that they did
boomers.
As kids.
Yeah. The boomer, the baby boomers.
I mean, but throughout generation. History,
they
just had to stop doing shit.
But yeah, but I think the baby boom, they were the last generation that had to sort of stop.
It's not like the Victorian era. And I like say you saw a bunch of adults be like, I can't stop playing the cup and the ball game. They had to fucking give it up.
Like, that game sucks.
Yeah, man, I don't need to grow up. It's fucking...
Let's go play cup and ball. Let's go crazy.
You guys are fully grown adults at 16 years old. You need to stop.
You have three kids of your own at this point.
And scurvy. Or some other type of...
Oh, my God, that's funny.
Disorder. Black lung?
No, scurvy, yeah.
Scurvy would be
good. That's why they had the limes, and that's why we called them limeys in the Revolutionary War.
Come on, be respectful.
Listen, I'm not.
What's that right here?
What is the matter?
So
what's
not
wrong?
Cool.
Seriously insulting.
I mean, come on, man. You don't say the L word when there's an L sitting right there.
You don't eat a lime in front of me.
You don't eat a lime. The weirdest way to insult a British person. Do you want some of this? And then you'd have to get through the limes and be like, I'm such an ineffective racist.
It's like an hour process.
Do you want to be preventative against scurvy?
Oh, the canker sores. It's just a bad racist. Hey, Canada, I'm going to crush this maple leaf. Well, I don't give a shit. Come on, do it. I don't care. I'm going to eat it. He eats everything. That's what he does.
Are you Canadian?
No.
Oh.
I'm not.
Oh. I'm from
Tennessee.
I have a question because I don't know about this. Why is there some sort of rival? But what is the Canadian-American thing? Like, why is that even there?
They took all of our ideals and properly implemented them.
Yes. There's no...
Wow.
I think it
doesn't come from this side.
I love Canada.
It doesn't come from this side. I think it comes from Canada's side because we're not as educated and our healthcare system is fucked up and we're a gun centric culture.
Yep.
Got it.
And I think there's just a lot of things, you know,
Canada's like, well, we do that better. I mean, they're fucking money. First of all, their money has.
Oh, wow. You actually
have some.
Their money has families playing hockey.
Yeah.
Like that's their money.
Hey, can I see this?
Yes, of course.
Thanks.
Their money. It's like ridiculous. They're so friendly and wonderful.
Who is this guy? Who is Sir Wilfrid Laurier? Oh, Prime Minister. Oh, okay.
Prime Minister from 1896 to 1911.
Hey, Matt, give me that money. Why don't you take that money back to those maple jumping ice jockeys? What? Is that racist?
But like, look at it. It's children playing hockey and then like a dad walking his kid over the hill.
Yes, I know. Their money is colorful and lovely.
And it's adorable.
What would the American family scene be on money?
It would be it'd be at McDonald's.
We're just busy throwing slave owners on money.
Trying to get through a pile of Happy Meals so the kids don't have to ask questions.
Are you kidding? I would love that money.
Daddy, how come?
I would never want to spend it.
How come Jesus didn't save all those people in a place? Okay, just put these burgers in your mouth and stop asking Daddy questions.
You know what's so funny is I'd never seen this site. It's called The People of Walmart. Have you seen this?
Of course.
Yeah, of course.
Oh my God, I just found out about this week. And I.
Oh, you're so lucky.
That you get to explore it all over again.
Like, all over again.
I know. And I actually can't believe.
They're
I feel like you don't see that in LA.
They're like human versions of lolcats. It's literally Iken has cheeseburgers. Come on, guys.
I want to see it though.
Have you never been? You've
really
been to a Walmart.
Great.
You grew up in. You lived in Austin.
I did, but I mean, I can't really remember. I've been to Walmart here. Don't they have Walmarts here? No?
But there aren't as many in Los Angeles proper, but they're kind of on the outskirts of town. Or like the giant
Targets. There's some zoning laws that don't allow Walmarts in
really?
But let me tell you something. In a zombie apocalypse, there is no other place you would rather be. You fucking build a fortress around that Walmart. Just live there.
What about Costco? I feel like Costco would be better.
Yeah, Costco would be better.
Costco's good for groups because everything's in bulk.
Sam's Club.
Hey, guys, I have 4,000 dill pickles. What are we going to do with all these?
Just eat them.
Score.
Yeah, exactly. But I feel like Walmart, Walmart, you know, it just feels like it'd be a little bit warmer than a Costco, which feels like you're in a warehouse. You're going to want to feel...
Sure, it's a little cozier.
Yeah, plus they have weapons available.
Do you have a zombie backup plan?
No, but I probably should. I have no backup plan.
You can just run, though.
Yeah, just run.
Do you watch Walking Dead?
I feel like I'm training. Are you walking Dead? I do.
Get you on Talking Dead.
What's Talking Dead?
Oh.
It's the show after Walking Dead where they wrap it up. Oh, she probably watches it online like a smart person and doesn't sit through... The one-hour Talking Dead, everybody.
Dead is. No, I love it.
It's fine that you don't know the show that I host.
Oh. I mean, Talking Dead.
No, that's better. Yeah, there were five ghosts.
Oh, no. Five ghosts.
Half hour.
What I love about it, honestly, is like it's an hour now.
Yeah.
And it's no longer 30 minutes. So there's more talking of the dead.
Yeah.
All right.
Nailed it.
A second ago, you said you'd never heard of it, but now with
that
this convincing performance.
That was like an English joke. That's what we say.
You don't understand British humor. It's like Fawlty Towers over here.
We speak the same language, but we don't speak the same language. When I say I'd never heard of your show, in England, that means I'm glad it went to an hour.
Yeah, for sure. I'm glad we cleared that up. No, I do watch Walking Dead. I think it's great.
It's good.
I love it. Yeah. It lost me a little bit halfway through, and then I kind of...
Season 2.
Yeah.
Season 2, episodes 1 through 3.
Yeah.
Episodes 2, 3, and 4. Some people say are a little slow. They need to get off the farm. Then it got fucking amazing.
Yes. The farm, yes. But no, I really love it. And I love the lead. What's his name?
Andrew Lincoln, yes.
Love Actually is Andrew Lincoln.
Oh, my God. That scene is brilliant.
Yeah, it is.
Andrew Lincoln and David Morrissey. Another fucking great British actor.
He's not in Love Actually. I don't know who
he is.
He played Jackson Lake.
If they're not in Love Actually, I don't know them.
Yeah, we don't really.
Understand. Wait, let me understand this. So your whole scope of knowledge about other performers is just people who are in Love Actually.
That's why she got the Schindler's List thing. Liam Neeson's in it.
Do you know what? I stole the Schindler's List thing, to be honest. That is in a movie. I don't know if you've seen it. And it's amazing. And it's called...
Love Actually.
It's called Love Actually. No.
It's called Love Actually, actually.
It's called Windy City Heat.
Oh, of course. Windy City Heat. Yeah, that's Kimmel's movie.
Yeah. And I am such a huge fan. And the movie alongside Windy City Heat that they're pretending to film is Schindler's List too.
Right.
I remember. And they're playing basketball and they're like... they throw it at him when he's eating.
Yeah. What's so funny about that guy is that... You start to feel bad for him, and then he starts talking, and then you're like, I don't feel bad for you at all.
It's hilarious. Like when they make him eat that milkshake, and it's like full of dairy, and he's really allergic, and he just shits his pants in the bathroom, and they have a mic. They mic it, and they film it. Oh,
because they're geniuses.
It's amazing. Not many people know about that film, though.
I feel like they do. I feel like a lot of people listening to this podcast probably know Windy City, but if they don't, they should check it out.
You have to check it out.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
But not before... You check out the new Tomb Raider or Grey's Anatomy or these other secret projects that are bubbling in the works for you that you can't talk about.
Spider-Man
but
2.
They're probably going to be really amazing.
The new Batman.
Yeah.
Supergirl.
Any franchise is me.
Camilla Luddington, Supergirl.
Exactly.
Oh, that's what we should do. It's just a reality show about Camilla, but then we throw a little comic book thing in there where... She just happens to be a Supergirl.
And I have a beard and everything.
A huge beard. Just
I love it.
A lovely, groomed beard.
I don't know if it should be groomed.
That's the funny thing is that she obviously aware of the beard.
No, here it is.
And grooms it.
Here it is.
Doesn't shave it off, wax it, grooms it.
I like the idea of
Santa. I got it. Here you go. Here's what it is.
Okay.
Is that your beard is like that. But in this movie or in this whatever it is that we're definitely going to make, the character of your mom comes over and hers is perfectly groomed. She's like, sweetie, why can't you take more pride in your appearance?
All right, I'll sign off on that.
And the mother has like a perfectly groomed.
Yes.
maybe even like a little bit of a Prince.
Yeah.
You know, just
yeah,
like
I like
a thin...
that. I like that.
Good.
I feel good about that.
Are you going to write and direct more?
I would love to. I literally have no time right now.
Sure.
I'm either doing Tomb Raider or Grey's.
Yeah.
But there is a hiatus coming up where I can't afford to do stuff like that.
I feel like you could have made something today instead of talking about ghosts fucking.
Or I could make something about ghost fucking.
Oh, sweet! Yeah!
And you have to... Okay. Because your name sounds so regal,
yeah,
you have to put it at the front of the title.
Yeah.
So it has to be Camilla Luddington's ghost fuck. Because the first part's so nice. And then, ghost fuck? Really?
I love it.
Don't ask questions. It's the tagline.
Just <Don't>. Enjoy it. Just let it happen. That's
Just
what it
let
is.
It Shh. So creepy.
We finally explain that weird scene in Ghostbusters where Dan Aykroyd's getting a ghost.
That was
job.
A whole separate scene.
I know. But this ghost fucking movie is going to explain that.
Did you know that? That was a whole separate scene in Ghostbusters.
Which scene?
They shot this scene where...
Do you remember in the montage where...
The ghost unbuttons his pants and then goes down on him. And
then he falls over in the bed.
It's a montage of like...
Which Ghostbusters?
The first one.
First one.
Okay.
The only one, really.
I like two.
It has some moments. Two has some moments.
I liked two.
Do, Re, Egon. Come on.
Yes.
Okay. And I admit that I liked Peter McNichol.
Yes.
And I think Viggo was fine.
It has its moments.
It does. I liked it.
I saw the original Viggo painting is at...
I know.
Okay.
I know.
Where is it?
Skywalker. It's up at ILM.
There's one at then there's a couple, because there's one at the Sony lot, too.
There is.
In their prop department.
They probably had a couple.
Oh,
yeah, I'm sure
amazing.
They had a couple.
I would so have that in my living room.
Oh God, yeah.
Wouldn't you?
I was
just
walking
and be like,
I was
watching.
What do you guys think?
I was watching a Nova documentary about the financial housing collapse, and one of the financial analysts' computer that they use for B-roll. I looked and I paused it really quickly, and on one of his seven monitors was a picture of Viggo and the Chicago Black Sox, and I'm like, of course the housing collapse happened.
Oh Jesus Christ!
Wow.
Well, we've taken up enough of your time. I
Thank
think.
You.
But you've had a great time and you're going
to
come back, right?
I would love to come back.
You can come back whenever
really
you want.
Fun.
You can come back whenever you want.
To promote Ghost Fuck.
Yeah, I mean, obviously.
No. Camilla Luddington's Ghost Fuck. Shh. Just let it happen.
If you want us to record a commentary track for you, we'd be glad to.
Now, in this scene of Ghost Fuck was very difficult to shoot because
the ghosts were just acting up.
They weren't.
Such divas.
We just couldn't get them to fuck. Which is difficult when you have a movie called Ghost Fuck. People have certain expectations. Number one being that the ghosts are actually going to fuck.
They just didn't want to fuck.
We couldn't
it
make
was
them.
So confusing.
Then we cut to her and she's dressed exactly like Burt Reynolds in Boogie Nights.
In Boogie Nights. And then a ghost comes out and he's like, "You're not the king of me. I'm the king of me. I'm
my
the ghost.
Big,
I'll fuck
my
this
big ghost.
Ghost
dick, Jack.
It's my
big
ghost,
ghost
dick,
Jack."
I like the idea that ghosts are like pandas and you just put them in a room and you're like, why aren't they fucking?
We can don't get
we
it.
Just put them near each other.
Trying to make a movie.
Don't you? It's almost like you don't care about the film industry once you die. And then Oscar time and it all wraps back around.
Oh,
it's fine.
Careful.
It all wraps back around.
Yes.
And the Oscar goes to... Camilla Luddington's Ghost Fuck!
Hey!
This is Camilla Luddington's first Oscar.
Can you imagine the ghost come up on stage with you?
She was previously nominated for Camilla Luddington's Spectral Finger.
Four Ghosts and Christoph Waltz.
Oh my God. Brilliant.
God damn it, I'm going to watch that.
Brilliant.
Good times today, you guys.
So glad
yeah,
I
we
came.
Had fun.
Good times today.
It's really just a lot more fun when Jonah's not here.
There's usually another guy on the podcast, but he was doing comedy in another city, so he wasn't here. So so he missed the fun.
He's making real people laugh, not internet people.
Internet people are real people.
Well, I can't see that. I didn't mean that they weren't real people.
Just like ghosts? So you're saying ghosts aren't real people just because you can't see them, Matt?
Yeah, ghosts aren't real.
Wow, that's
people. They're in our homes and they are fucking all the time, keeping us awake. With their weird ghost moans. That's why they're moaning.
This feels great.
Are you in pain? No!
Right now is when Jonah would say something like a very funny pun.
He would.
Without it, it's fun.
Hooray.
Good times.
We did it. Let's go buy Tomb Raider.
Yes, Tomb Raider out.
Please.
March, comes out March 5th. Or yeah, this actually, by the time this goes up, Tomb Raider will be out going by. In all seriousness, but watching Conan play it, like, the game looks fucking awesome. Like, it really does look. And to reboot a franchise like that.
I'm excited about this bow and arrow situation.
You are not excited?
I am. No,
oh,
I said I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
Did you have to mocap the bow and arrow stuff,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, we really did.
Someone say, your form's not right? Form a T.
Was someone yelling at you? Yes. Someone did say to me my form was a little off.
So we
learn archery as kids in England. Like, that's part of
Oh, that's
of
a thing?
Us.
That's part
that's
of the curriculum?
Yeah. Which, when, I don't know when you're going to use a bow and arrow.
To rob from the rich?
No, I mean, if someone's sieging Harrods, you probably want to just knock some windows out.
Exactly. But, I hadn't played in years, and they were like, your form's a little off. But yeah, they needed me to be very precise with it.
And you're like, your form's a little off.
Yeah, you're a little off.
Dad.
Darling, your form's off.
Darling, terrible archery. Terrible archery skills.
Darling, terrible archery.
Shameful, shameful. Enjoy your burrito, everyone!
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
For more than two centuries, the White House has been the stage for some of the most dramatic scenes in American history. Inspired by the hit podcast American History Tellers, Wondery and William Morrow present the new book, The Hidden History of the White House. Each chapter will bring you inside the fierce power struggles, the world-altering decisions, and shocking scandals that have shaped our nation. You'll be there when the very foundations of the White House are laid in 1792, and you'll watch as the British burn it down in 1814. Then you'll hear the intimate conversations between FDR and Winston Churchill as they make plans to defeat Nazi forces in 1941. And you'll be in the Situation Room when President Barack Obama approves the raid to bring down the most infamous terrorist in American history. Pre-order The Hidden History of the White House now in hardcover or digital editions wherever you get your books.